Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Discovery.
Good morning, Discovery. Welcome to Discovery
Family,
Community Church.
Friends.
Welcome. Live stream. And I hope you guys are being safe and taking care of yourself out there. This is a brand new kind of venture for us, worshiping together, even though we're not together. So we're glad that you're here joining us. A couple of things to make this a great experience this morning is interact on Facebook if you're viewing this via Facebook. If you're not viewing through Facebook and you're doing it through our website, by the way, if you're on Facebook, you can also just view this at the website, discochurch.com. But interact there. There's an online bulletin that tells you all the things that are coming up, things you want to be connected
on. You guys
are
getting really good at this, by the way.
I'm sure you're getting great at it. There's an online connection card, and there's a way for you to continue your online giving back to God. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that a little bit more at the end as well. So interact today. We got some really cool stuff today that we're going to talk through. We're starting a brand new series called When Everything is Different. I don't know. It seems like it might be applicable.
Yes, absolutely. How many of you are already worshiping with us by listening to some worship music before church? If you were, you should give us a little shout out. We are so grateful that you're willing to make adjustments. That's what all of us are doing. And we probably have a lot more ahead, but we are still able to gather in this way. So just lean into it. Enjoy it. Interact.
Yeah, absolutely.
Continue to connect your hearts with God and with each other.
A couple other things is make sure you have a Bible handy. We're going to be in the book of James in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And you're going to also want to have a pen, something to take some notes handy. And then we're trying a couple new things this morning. As one is that we have a new online text to prayer requests. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to see that at the bottom of the screen. Anytime during this live stream, you can text a prayer request. And so we'd love for you to text a prayer request. We have people that want to pray with you,
yes,
that want to stand with you.
Our team is sincerely looking for those prayer requests. If it's to you, small, a huge weight on your heart, it doesn't matter. If you have something that you need prayer for you, for your family, for your known community, please share, because our team is lifting those prayers up every day.
Absolutely. And that's, you can, once you write down that text or you text that, keep it, and it's live all week. You can send texts all week long whenever you need them, and there'll be people that will be writing them down and praying. And hopefully, if you send some in this morning, at the end of our time together, we're going to have a few moments and pray over some of those. We probably won't be able to pray over all of them, but we'll pray over some of the prayer requests that you send in this morning.
What are some other new things that we're trying today?
So the other cool thing is that we've launched a really cool resource for kids and families.
Yes.
And some of you already received some invitation, and if you haven't yet, you want to be a part of that, you just need to go to Facebook, and I think if you do a search for Disco Kids Tacoma, Disco Kids Tacoma on Facebook, it'll take you there. And so we're at 10:15, there's going to be shared experience. So if you're not already in there, you want to go right now. You might even take a break from this. Go right now to that page and request. It's a private page. We've done that to provide some safety for kids.
Yeah.
So, but there are some people that'll be watching that over the next hour, so you can get logged on and be part of
that. That page
has
already been active this week with science experiments and people checking in with the community and kids. It's been wonderful. So please keep that up. That connection is so important for our kids and families.
There's been a lot. I mean, there's honestly been some cool things that have been going on this week. You were talking earlier this morning about some things people were doing.
Right. So the need to help protect our healthcare providers is a huge need. And when that call came to the attention of people in our church, they got busy cutting fabric and sewing fabric and creating masks that our healthcare providers are in desperate need of. So thank you so much for everybody who jumped in. Yesterday when I saw that happening and how it was just spreading like wildfire and seeing pictures of all those masks that are going to be dropped off to hospital and healthcare providers, it just encouraged my heart. So keep it up, church. You're doing a great job. And I know, like I've said, there's more and more opportunities coming our way.
Absolutely. Another really great thing that you want to be aware of this week is that we're launching new groups. There's several new group opportunities online that you can engage with from the comfort of your own home, via your phone or your computer, your laptop. And so all you have to do is here on Facebook, you can just type in groups and immediately people get you some information and you go to the website, use the connection card, lots of different ways. Just let us know you're interested. Someone will get in contact with you and help you get connected to a group experience. So it'll be really, really great for you.
I want to encourage you too. I love our social interaction when we have this time together. Please keep that up. It makes us feel like, oh, hi to people that are jumping on and enjoying interacting about what's being said and encouraged through God's word. I also want to encourage you, when we pray, when we stop and pray, stop everything and join your hearts together, because we are all stopping and going to the throne of God together. Pray with us. Join us. Join in music. That's another thing that we can share with you that's going to come up between our services. You want to speak to that a little bit?
We're going to try something new this morning. At the end of this live stream, you can go to the website, discochurch.com. Go to the sermons page. Is it called live stream page?
Discochurch.com/live.
Discochurch.com/live. And there are two videos posted of two worship songs. So as soon as this video's this live stream is over, we're going to encourage you, as if you're sitting as a family or with a couple of friends, we're going to encourage you to go right to that, click on each one of those links, and just worship along with those artists as
and
they
And you
lead
can
us.
Do that anytime during the week. There's Absolutely. So many resources, but what's cool about listening to those same songs together is it's just another thing where God is drawing us all in those same lyrics, in that same moment. So join us in that and invite your family to worship through the week. Take care of your soul. We've been gathering around our out-of-tune piano and singing together this week. Encourage your family to take those moments. It's really important.
Absolutely.
Can I share a little bit about my conversation with my family this week? Yeah. So this is taken thoughts after having a conversation with my mom and dad on the phone, who are in a care facility that, of course, can't allow visitors, etc. My siblings have gone over and spoken to them through the windows and doing what so many people nationwide are doing. But my mom and dad, their spirits, when I talked to them on the phone, were so up. And they said two things that I want to share today, because I just thought it was so important for us to kind of grasp. They were born, this is what my dad said exactly. He said, you know, Tracy, I was born during a depression, and I probably will die during a recession, but the in-between was great, is what he said. And he spoke to me about what was learned during the time that he was born in, both my parents. We've teased my mom my entire life. We've kind of teased about her make-do spirit. And if you know people from that era, you know what I'm talking about. They know how to make do. They know how to take really difficult or lean times and make the absolute most of it. And my parents have always been that way, and they've led that way. And I think about, what is God going to do in this generation as we walk through this? What are we going to learn? Because that's a pretty cool attribute to have, to be able to take what you get. You know, it may not be what you were expecting, but you can make the most of it. I love that. And then the other thing that my dad said, and I want to encourage, and I might get emotional, so please forgive me, but my dad said, you know, the people that I feel the worst for, of course, those who are sick, those who are suffering, people that are on the front lines, but this is who he said, of all the people, he said, this is who my heart aches for. It's the young adults. It's spring. You know, young people are looking forward to springtime and dating and proms and graduations, celebrations that they should have. So I thought about that, and he's right. Be patient with your young people. I'm speaking to myself as well. And celebrate them when you have a moment. If you have opportunity to reach out to a senior, and we have plenty in our church family, and I know you know them, reach out to them, celebrate what they've done, and help them, people of faith, to continue to look forward.
Yeah, let's take a minute. Wherever you are, again, you might be in your bedroom, you might be in your living room, you might be alone or with some people, but whoever's around you, I want you to remember that you are actually together with Jesus people all over the world. Discovery's not alone in having this live stream. There's thousands of churches all over the United States that are meeting this way together. So you're together. And so in a moment of togetherness, I'd like us together to pray. So let's all bow and just take a moment. Father, today we thank you for another day. It's another day with its unique challenges and with its unique blessings. You promise us that this is the day that you made. And that tells me that you're in charge. Mm-hmm. And that as much as it feels like you're not, those things, those feelings, those senses, whatever that is, those are just absolute, they're lies. The truth is that you are in charge.
Yeah.
And that you are still working good today. You're working good in my family. You're working good in my city. You're working good in our nation. Mm-hmm. You're working good in our world. And our hearts are heavy this morning. We are heavy for I have before friends in Italy that are, I mean, they're, Italy's hitting so hard. Our hearts are heavy with those around the globe. Even in their own nation, Father, there's a sense of fear, and there's people grieving. And so we ask this morning that you would bring a sense of peace just across our entire nation. God, we also pray specifically this morning for the men and the women who serve on the front lines in healthcare.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I pray that you give them encouragement. I pray that you give them protection.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you keep their spirits up, that this would be a time that you draw them close to
I
you.
Agree. Yes.
This is hard. It's hard. It's hard work. It's laborious and it's exhausting. And then they bring that home and it's so hard on their families. And so I just pray right now a sense of peace and protection over those who are standing in the front lines and the gaps. Father, we pray that you give people and leadership, all different levels of leadership, from presidents to prime ministers, all the way down to local leaders. Father, we pray you give leaders wisdom beyond their own ability, and that, Father, you would lead us out of this. And Father, I want to pray, like so many people are praying, I want to pray that you would lift this virus from our cities, from our homes, from our world. I pray that in Jesus' name that you would lift that and remove that. We pray for those who are wrestling, Father, that things have been turned so upside down and they're wondering what side is up. And we pray that there'd be a lot of peace in this time. In Jesus, we all pray together.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Tracy.
You're so welcome.
So... if you would, I want to encourage everybody, wherever you are, to take a moment and make sure you have a Bible and find a Bible. Make sure it's handy. You need to get up. You're not going to disrupt anybody. Okay, so get up, get a pen, and get a Bible handy. Find the book of James. And today, I want to encourage you to listen all the way to the end. I'm going to share with you three strategic tools. Okay, at the end, I'm going to share with you three strategic tools to help you be, during this season, this time, the person that you know you were made to be and called to be. And so, sometimes different. So our series is called When Everything's Different. Sometimes different can be dangerous. Okay, and I think you probably know what I mean. But I'm reminded of a moment in my life years ago. I was a kid, and some friends came over to my house, and we decided to take a hike. I don't know if it's a hike or wandering or trying not to get in trouble into the woods. So we had a lot of woods around my house. So these friends that came over and we decided to go on this walk through the woods. And it was a familiar path. In fact, we all knew the best place to cross the barbed wire fence. And so we left my house and went down and we crossed the barbed wire fence. And as we got over the fence, we started walking our way through the woods on this narrow path. And I was in the back. And there was probably about four of us. And all I remember is that as we were walking down this familiar path, doing this fairly familiar thing, the guy in front yells, "Snake." Now, I don't know what happens to you when someone yells "snake," but when someone yells "snake" to me, things start going sideways inside very, very fast. So I hate to admit it, but I have some fears, and the word "snake" elicits some serious fears and anxiety in my life. I can still feel the same things I felt. I don't know how long ago that was. Maybe, too long. I don't want to say. But I can still feel that feeling. It starts down inside and works its way out the back of my neck. And I remember when I heard that word, feeling something. There's something that was just like conceived inside of me. And then before I even knew it, before I could even cognitively understand what was happening, I had turned my body and I found myself running. You know, almost like you haven't really decided, your body's just now doing it. And I'm in this panic is now born in my life and I am running to this fence. And even though I was the first person to get to the fence, I was not the first person over the fence, okay? So I wasn't the only one feeling this anxiety and this panic. And so the four of us, we piled onto this fence and it was a mess. There was yelling. I think there was some fists being thrown. And by the time I got over the fence, we're on this pile. We're dirty and torn up and my arm is bleeding. In fact, I still have a scar to prove it. And the interesting thing is, I never saw the snake. He didn't bite me. He didn't wave at me. It was just the fear. And it birthed in me this anxiety, which then birthed the panic, which then caused chaos in my life. And that's what sometimes the different does. That's how sometimes the different is so dangerous in our lives, is that it conceives something. And maybe you know somebody in your life right now. Maybe there's someone in your circle that's having maybe an old anxiety be stirred again. And that anxiety is birthing a panic, and it comes out in every one of their conversations, every one of the interactions, and you're watching it lead to catastrophe. This isn't new to us. This whole path that we're wrestling with right now is not new to us as human beings. This is a well-worn path that human beings have walked through for a long time. In fact, James writes about it, and I'd like to read it to you. If this is from James chapter 1, verse 15. James says, after a desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So James tells us that there is this well-worn pattern in the lives of men and women, just like you and me. And that's when different descends in their life, in your life and mine, there is a conception. There's something deep inside of us that's conceived. Now, sometimes it's anxiety, sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's straight up fear, sometimes it's stress. But there's something that's conceived, and then there's a reaction that is born. A reaction that's born out of that anxiety is births a sin, and sin ends up reaping incredible consequences in our lives. Now, James doesn't write this just to tell us, hey, it stinks to be you. James writes his entire letter to share with you and me that there is a better way. Okay, for people of faith, there is absolutely a better way. There's a better way to navigate when the difference descends on your life and mine than allowing the anxiety that's been conceived in our life to, he says actually in the verse before, to drag us away. I think that's a pretty powerful image, that it can drag us away and lead us in a place that we were never meant to be in. So we're going to talk about some strategies to navigate that anxiety. And what I want you to do, since your Bible's open to James, I want you to go to the very beginning of the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 1, and I want you to read along with me just a few verses. Starting verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Now, this week, I was captivated by verse 1, and that seems a little weird, at least it seems weird to me, because a lot of times when we read those little books in the New Testament, we want to skip over the first few verses because they seem a little boring. It's just sort of greetings. But when we do that, we miss some significant things. And maybe you saw it when I just read it. Let's read it again. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to, so he's saying, this is who I'm writing this to. This is who this letter is addressed to. He says, to the 12 tribes, anybody?
Scattered.
The 12 tribes scattered among the nations. James' audience, his audience is to the scattered people. You know, this season is not unique to us. In fact, we are here today. You are and I am. We are here today, a part of a long legacy of men and women who have lived in scattered seasons and times. Maybe you're familiar with Abraham in the opening book of the Bible. Abraham's 75 years old, and God comes to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, actually calls him Abram at the time. He says, Abram, I want you to go to a land that I'll show you. So at 75 years of age, Abram leaves everything that he knew as normal. The different descends on his life, and he spends the rest of his journey as a wanderer. Abram's grandson is a guy named Jacob. You might remember Jacob. His name gets changed to anybody? Israel. But you might remember Jacob, he has to run away from home, and his first encounter with God is on a rock. He finds himself alone and far from everything that's been normal, and he's sleeping on the ground, and he pulls up a rock as a pillow, and it's his first encounter with God. He will spend the rest of his days as a wanderer, a scattered person. Jacob's kids, late in Jacob's life, he starts to have a little bit of normalcy, and a famine descends upon the world. And Jacob, whose name now is everybody?
Israel.
Jacob now has to lead his family from what's normal into a foreign land, the land of Egypt. They have to live scattered. And they will live scattered in Egypt for 400 years. They won't just merely live there. They'll become slaves in Egypt. That will be their life. They'll leave there. When God goes and says, I got a promised land for you, and Moses leads them to the promised land, on their way out of Egypt into Israel, an entire generation spends their life wandering in circles in the desert. They're the scattered people. The difference has descended on their life. You might remember one of the heroes in the Old Testament, a guy named David. David, before he becomes king, he lives for 20 years, moving from cave to cave, living as a refugee and a wanderer. We are built, our life is built on the legacy of men and women who've lived scattered. The people of Israel, they were led into captivity not once, not twice, but three times prior to Jesus' birth. Scattered. When James is writing the scattered, he's not just merely saying that this is a theoretical thing or this is a historical thing. What has happened is that the people of Israel, the Jewish people, are literally scattered as foreigners all over the globe. After Jesus' life, right? During his resurrection, the disciples were scattered. In the years that followed, because of the persecution and the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, the Christians were scattered. You know, in America, the Western Church, we're here today in America because Jesus' people had to flee their homes, had to flee everything that was normal. And those that didn't flee, many of the men and women of the faith who've gone before us didn't arrive here just as mere refugees. Some of them arrived here in chains as slaves, stolen from their own homes and their world. So the truth is when we read from James, James says, I'm writing to you as men and women who have felt and experienced the difference descending on your life. The difference has showed up over and over and over again. And here's the deal. For the last 2,000 years, Jesus' people have found their significance and their strength and their power not in where they are, but they have found their significance and their strength and the power in where they're going. And they've chosen not to dwell on what is happening to them, but on what God is doing in them. And the truth is that even in this moment, God is working. Let me say that again. The truth is, at this very moment, God is working. This different is not something that somehow God missed. And so we must not fear. We must not fear. And we must not let fear steal from us what God wants to do in us. I'll say that again so you have time to write it down. We must not let fear steal from us what God wants to do in us. That's what James is writing this letter for. In fact, to prove it, I want to read the next couple of verses. James says, remember, if you're waking up in a place that you didn't expect, you're waking up in a world that is completely different than it was yesterday. He says, now consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Isn't that remarkable? James says, I'm writing to you and to men and women who know what it's like to wake up in places that you didn't expect or plan or want to be in. He says, but you can consider it joy because God is still in charge. In fact, he says, listen, this is what God's doing right now. He wants to mature you. He wants to complete you. He wants to bring you to a place, I love this, that you're not lacking anything, even toilet paper. This moment is neither a surprise to God or is in any way causing him to deviate from his plan. He is still working. He's still moving. He's still growing you. He's growing his church. And he's multiplying his mission. And he's doing it right now. Some of your versions don't say trial, they say test. And so we find that hard to take joy in tests. Because most of us, when we think about a test, we think about a mean teacher who is trying to weed us out. You know, like, oh, a test. Test is going to expose my weakness and I'm going to get booted from the class, or I'm going to fail, or I'm not going to pass. When James writes the word trial, he's not talking about a mean teacher who wants to weed you out. He's using a word like a coach creates a trial to prepare you for the next stage. So when he writes this word trial, he's not saying God is trying to weed you out. He's trying to say God wants to grow you up. God is trying to pass you into the next level. He's doing something in your life right now. And so I love how James says this. Listen, let's not miss this, because this will be the key to the next step. He says, so let perseverance finish its work. Now that's the secret. Let's not miss this. In fact, if your Bible's open, I want you to circle the word let. This is the secret. James says you have a choice. Let. You have a choice that you can make right now. You can let this different season, this different world, you can let it stir an old anxiety. You can let it fuel that old fear, or you can choose to be different on the inside. You can choose to be different on the inside. In fact, I'm convinced that when you or I choose to be different on the inside, it changes everything else. You know, we rarely get to pick the mountain that we climb, but we always get to pick how we climb the mountain. We rarely get to pick the mountain that we climb, but we always get to pick how we climb the mountain. You know, that pattern we talked about earlier that James described, that conception and that birth and that destruction, it all hinges on who you choose to be. It all hinges on that first step. What are you going to do with the anxiety that you're feeling right now? You might say, okay, Pastor John, that is so easy in your comfortable living room. It's not. It's not easy here. It's not easy in your living room. But I want to share with you three strategic tools. I promised you earlier we'd get to this. These are three strategic tools to address the anxiety that's being threatened in your world right now. James tells us in verse 18, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Isn't that interesting? James says that God's actually trying to birth something right now. Like, the enemy is trying to birth something. And for most people, he's winning. He's trying to birth anxiety. He's trying to birth anger. He's trying to birth stress. He's trying to get you on that well-worn path. But James says, truthfully, at this very moment, God is trying to birth something else. And what God's trying to birth is he's trying to birth it through, did you see it? Through the word of truth. You and I need to be transformed on the very inside of us. The book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't go down the same path everybody else is going on. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So right now, all day long, we are being fed information. We are being fed opinions, and it is stoking the fear in our lives. It's like incessant and nonstop. It's important for you and I to take control of what's feeding our soul. Yeah. Not just allowing the outside world to continue to conform us, but take charge of what's feeding your soul. So the number one, the first strategic tool is to feed on purpose. And this is what James is inviting you and I to. He's saying, listen, feed on God's word. Don't just feed on the messages of the world, but feed on God's word. Let me read you a couple of verses. This won't be on your screen, but if you want to, this you can write it down, read it later. This is from Psalm 19, and then I'm going to read from Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 19 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. They make wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant. They give light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Psalm chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." Listen, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever they do, they prosper. Let me give you a couple psalms that you can read. I was reminded, a friend of mine, and I think many of you know her, her name is Alicia. Alicia left me a message last week, and she said, Pastor John, can you have everyone read Psalm 91 every day? I would encourage you to read Psalm 91 every day. Read from Psalm 46 every day. Some of you, if you've not been reading the Bible, I want to encourage you right now to go to YouVersion. It's an app. You can download it on your phone. You can go to YouVersion and just click Daily Bible Reading. And there's a ton there to pick from. And I don't want to overwhelm you, but let me just share with you two from there. One is you can read through the New Testament in 90 days. The second thing is that there's several that are reading plans for anxiety. Strategy number one, to be the person that you know God's called you to be, even in this incredible time, is to feed on purpose. Use this season as a time to get into God's word. And I hate to break it to you, but you cannot use the excuse that you're too busy. You could use the excuse that your kids are loud, that there's lots of needs at home, but we have time. Number one, feed on purpose. Second thing, second strategy that James gives us to turn this whole path around, right, is to talk to the right one. Back in verse 5, James says, "If any of you lacks wisdom," just a second, I lost my notes for a second. He says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." If any of you lacks wisdom, you should, everybody?
Ask God.
Ask God. Jesus says in Matthew 11, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Now, again, in this season, not only are we getting lots of information from the world just being poured into us, but we have a tendency to want to talk out everything with people. Now, I don't know about you, but I have some people in my life, some that I love and some that I really like. And often after I've talked to them, I am more wound up than I was before. Now, I may even like the conversation, I may like them, but there's just something about talking to them that just gets my shoulders like this, right? And my hands, I start doing this, and I walk out of these conversations like I might even try to high-five them, but inside I'm so tense because I'm talking to the wrong people. So during this season when anxiety is trying to get control of your soul, there's a conception that's trying to happen here. James says, listen, talk to God. Call to me, and I will answer you, God says. I will tell you great and mighty things that you do not know. In the book of 2 Chronicles, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Listen. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. old prophet says, in repentance and rest is your strength, and quietness and trust. He says, but you would have none of it. Right now, intentionally carve out time every day to pray. As a church, we've been walking through 40 days of prayer. If you've not been praying, and you want some accountability, want to be on the team, right now on Facebook, you can just say 40 days of prayer. Someone will get in touch with you, get you on board praying. You can use that. I'm going to remind you again, you can text right now a prayer request. You could also text and say, I'd like to pray with people. And so we will include you as part of the prayer team. This is a part time in your life and mine to defeat the anxiety that's trying to be born. Is that we need to be people of prayer. Let's go on to the third strategy. The third strategy is, it's simply this, choose joy. Now we'll go back to James 1:2, and let's listen to James as he writes this. He says, now remember, he's saying, I'm writing to, and he knows who he's writing to. He's writing to people who are not living where they want to live. He's writing to people who have woken up in a different, and it's, the circumstances around their life are challenging. He knows it. He knows this is a tough audience. And he says, okay, now that we're all clear, consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kinds. So when James says, he says that you actually have a choice when it comes to joy. Says you can make the decision to consider this season a season of joy. One of the greatest ways to defeat the anxiety that's trying to like boil up inside of you is just to say no. You know, God is good. Romans chapter 8. God is working all things together for good. God is good. There is breath still in my lungs. He's not given up on me. He's promised to never give me something that's beyond my ability. He's promised that he'd be with me in every moment of every day, that somehow, even in this moment, he is doing something good. And so today, I choose joy. You know, one of my heroes is a man named Paul, and he writes this little book. It's called the Book of Philippians. Most people throughout history have called it, subtitled it, the Book of Joy. It's just 4 chapters long. It's real short. Most people believe that he wrote this book of joy from a prison cell. Isn't that remarkable? A man sitting in a prison cell for really things he never really deserved to be in prison for. He writes things like this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about that stuff. I like to imagine there's just a little hole in the jail, like a little tiny window. And I like to imagine that Paul sat there and he just was looking. I'm going to look for even a cloud that's pleasurable. I'm going to listen for even the chirp of one bird. And I'm going to remember what is true about God and what is right, what is lovely and excellent. And I am going to consider and choose joy. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's doing something good. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt he is growing you. That this season is like a coach who's moving you and me through a trial. And on the other side of this trial is going to be a new level of faith and trust and strength and love and health in your family, health in your relationships, intimacy with God the Father. I know that at this moment God's doing something. In fact, Paul writes this in another place. He says, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the good that God has planned for you. I know at this moment that God is working. He's working in you and me. He's working through his church. Discovery Community Church has been called to multiply, and I am eagerly looking forward to how God's using this season to multiply his church. You know, as I shared on Thursday, I said, as a church, we are uniquely positioned for this season. We're a church that has never been defined by personality or by place. We have never been a church that's been dependent on a Sunday morning experience. We've been a church that believes that church has lived out eyeball to eyeball in small groups, and those small groups being on mission in the city. And right now you, your family, your small group, you're on a vital mission. And I want to encourage you to keep looking for where and how God is working and moving, and join him. And watch what he'll do. Maybe it'll start with you today just saying no to allowing the anxiety to keep brewing. To no to letting it spill out. You've been thinking it's uncontrollable. You've been thinking, man, I can't help it. But as that's spilling over, it's bringing chaos into your family and to the world around you. But today, it can all change by making a decision to choose to be what God has made you to be. Your greatest strategic tools are going to be his word, prayer, and making a decision every day to choose joy. And I pray that you do that. What I want to do is I want to take a moment here in prayer. And then after I close this moment of prayer, Tracy's going to come and we're going to pray specifically over some of the prayer requests that you've sent in. And then I'm going to bring our time to a close, and I'm going to encourage you to do two things. I'm going to encourage you to go to the website if you're not there already. As soon as the prayer time is over, I want to encourage you to go to the website, and I want you to click on the first song is It Is Well With My Soul. It's an old song that people have leaned into for years and years and years. And then there's a new song. I want you to click on that, just two songs. And during that time, I want you to worship with the people around you. I want you to worship if you're by yourself. I want you to worship by yourself, but together with God's family. And some of you, this will be an opportunity for you to give back to God. We believe at Discovery that part of worship is living generously. During that song of worship, you might choose to, as a family, to live generously and go to the website and do it through there if you'd like. Or you might consider and talk about, how could we live generously in our family, in our online interactions? What can we do to be generous if we don't have the financial resources to do that? Are there some ways that we can live generously? And then at 10:15, if you haven't logged in already or request to be part of that group, I want you and your family to go to the Disco Kids Tacoma site and take part in the family activity. So let's pray together. I'm going to start with a prayer just to close the teaching, and then we're going to pray through some of these requests. Mm-hmm. Jesus, thank you so very, very, very much that this is not new territory to you. It feels like it's new to us, and sometimes it feels like you're asleep. But we've been reminded today that you're not, that you're working and that you're moving, and that this is an opportunity for you to finish, complete, to mature, to grow us into a place that we're not lacking in anything, but you shaped us for the next season. So I'm asking that all over Discovery, in every living room, every home, every apartment, that right now, Father, that you're helping men and women make the decision to turn this season of anxiety into a season of growth. I want to pray for families that are wrestling. There's real concerns. Mm-hmm. Every one of the concerns, they're real, mm-hmm. and they're evident. We are your scattered people, yes. in different circumstances and situations. These things are real. And we pray that you would give us the faith and the hope to walk through this in such a way that it glorifies you. Yeah. May it birth great things in our kids. May our kids watch us, how we interact and walk through this season. May our neighbors watch how we walk through this. Mm-hmm. May the city around us feel your grace and the presence of your church here. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray that right now you would be winning in us.
Yeah. Lord, we have a prayer request today for someone who's expecting their first baby. Mm-hmm. Prayer for this unborn baby, for health, for the family. God, we have a prayer request specifically for people that are dealing with anxiety and with depression. Yes. Lord, we know that mental illness is very real, and yes. this time is a time that could be a tool of the evil one to get a hold of minds and fears, but we pray that you, through your Spirit, would change that.
I agree.
God, we have prayer requests this morning for our hospital staff.
I agree.
People within our church and our community who are absolutely on the front lines of fighting against this virus and how it's having effect in so many ways. We pray that they would be prepared, that they'd be protected, that they would have supernatural strength, that you'd watch over their families.
Yes.
We know that there's probably a surge of patients that might be coming very soon. We pray that you would just supernaturally give strength and protection.
Yes, I pray that.
We pray also, God, for firefighters in their role as first responders. God, we have so many prayer requests about loss of income.
Yes,
people who are walking through very real concerns about layoffs. God, would you come and provide in ways that we couldn't have imagined?
I agree.
Would you raise up generous hearts, provisions through government agencies that come through quickly for people that are very concerned? God, would you provide and that we would see it in ways where we would turn and give thanks? We could just see your hand of provision. Come and bring your peace that passes understanding to every one of these people that have shared requests today.
I agree. Jesus, we lean into you and we trust you. Lead us, lead your people through this season.
Pray that your name would be glorified.
Yes. I agree. Jesus, you asked us to come to you and you would give us rest. And so we come to you. We've come to you this morning, and we're going to continue to come to you each and every moment of every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just lead us. In your name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for joining us. And I want to again encourage you, don't let the moment end here.
Mm-hmm.
In just a moment, this live stream will end. And again, discochurch.com. I think it's, again, a sermon and live.
discochurch.com/live.
discochurch.com/live, and there'll be the song It Is Well, and then there'll be a second song. Please take a few moments, so just worship together, and then while you're worshiping together, consider how you and your family can live generously in this time. Again, some of us, it won't be able to be financially. If God's blessed you, do so. Some of you, it may be, how can we live generously in our neighborhood? What are some ways that we can give back?
And so, share those ideas.
I think
it's incredible that we live in a time where when you're figuring out ways to bless your neighbor, when you're figuring out ways to lean into places of need, or even to do a make-do birthday party, because the times they are changing, you know what? Share it.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Other people are walking through the same thing and they want to be helpful.
Yeah. So God bless you guys and stay connected. We have lots of resources at Discovery. Nearly every day there'll be some connection opportunities of the week. And don't hesitate to reach out if you have a need or see a need. We, as a church community, have stood in the gap together before, and we will stand in the gap together again.
We'll stop everything and pray. Share those prayer requests.
Absolutely.
People are lifting them up to the throne of God, and that's a powerful thing.
All right. God bless you. Take a few moments of time of worship, and then at 10:15, the kids and family time will take place.
Yeah.
God bless you guys.